Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Creepy Mansion on the Hill, and welcome to the 5th Annual Butler Convention. Is everyone having a good time?
Very good, sir!
Excellent. So the title of my lecture today is, So You Think You Can Hold a Tray? So if we could just get my PowerPoint up. There we are. Can everyone see?
No!
No! Turn the lights off!
Lights off!
Lights off! Lights off!
All right, here we go. Someone's been murdered! Who could have done this?
It was the butler!
Stupendous. Now, if somebody could remove this body, we'll crack on. Did you see that KFC are doing Zynga popcorn bites now?
I didn't see that.
You know, like the Wicked Zynga meal, popcorn. Like the Zynga burger.
Yeah, yeah, no, I love the Wicked Zynga.
Yeah.
But like, so as in it's like the popcorn chicken, but they're Zynga bites.
Popcorn chicken, but Zynga bites.
I think that would be good.
We'll get them after the show.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween, everyone!
Prepare to have your apples bobbed.
And may there be many treats, but also a few tricks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So for this Halloween special, we thought we'd do another narrative, spooky narrative.
Very spooky.
For you. And we'll make it up. So, good luck. This half hour is returnable if you email us at coldplatescomedy@gmail.com. You will go through the correct channels. We will get the time credited to your sketching out account within 14 working days.
You need only give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts.
That's right. We didn't make the law.
But in the story world, we do make the law, and we're going to have a group of people.
How many?
And a group of 11 people.
Okay.
Have to rob a...
casino.
Casino in a haunted house.
A haunted house or a haunted mansion?
A haunted mansion.
A haunted mansion. Wonderful.
Well, it's big enough to have a casino.
Whichever one is smaller, it's that one.
It's that one, yeah.
Okay.
We don't want it too big.
No. We don't have the budget.
So they're seated in a
van.
There's 13. There's 13. There's a spooky. There's a
ooh,
yes.
There's spookiness to
there
it.
There are 13 of them robbing this casino.
So who's there?
George Clooney, Brad Pitt,
Matt Damon.
Professor Ocean.
Professor Richard Ocean.
Professor Richard.
How did they
Ocean.
Get him?
We'll get. It's a good story actually, but not as good as the story of how they got Professor C.
Professor Richard C.
Professor Richard C. Longtime rival of Professor Reginald Ocean.
Well,
for obvious reasons.
He doesn't know that though.
Who? Professor Ocean?
Professor C.
Yeah.
Thinks they're friends.
Okay.
Professor Ocean can't stand
can't
the guy.
Stand it,
and right. He had no idea he was coming on this
he was,
heist.
Clooney didn't mention it.
No.
He already feels like he's been had a bit of a heist done to him.
They're in the back. In yeah. The really small cramped seats together because they yes. Were like those two have got quite a lot in common.
Wouldn't it be nice if they sat together?
They can catch up on their various research into large bodies of water.
Yeah, and they say this to them when they arrive, and Professor Ocean, Professor Z, they both roll their eyes and they mutter, they're not.
There's quite a lot of differences.
Huge differences.
Anyway, so they're in the car.
They're in the car. And
there's the others.
And there's Steve. There's Steve who keeps saying to them, you know what I like? I like the story of how we all met. And then they all go, shut up, Steve. And he goes, they call me Story Steve. It's like, we're not calling you that.
It's like, you're stuck in the past, Steve. You're stuck in the past. You're
stuck in the past. This is now. We've got to talk about the heist now.
We want to talk about now and the future.
And he's like, it's such an interesting story how we all came together.
So they need to get into the mansion.
So they can get to the casino, so that they can get to the fruit machine.
Yeah.
So that they can get access to a little known secret underground lab.
Yes.
From the war, from the World War II, where the British were making, at the same time as the Soviets, because it was an arms race.
A talking dog.
A talking dog.
A talking dog that can solve mysteries.
Yes, a mystery-solving dog.
Because Churchill loved dogs, okay, as well known by...
he was known as the bulldog, wasn't he?
That's right, Adam. But they wanted to know what Stalin was saying during the Cold War. And Stalin tells everything to his dog. And Churchill was also saying everything to his dog as well. So at the same time as the Soviets being like, we need to find out what Churchill's dog is saying, Churchill's saying the same thing about Stalin.
So they thought...
The Tories are just going along with it because they're like, well, this is better than universal healthcare.
So they're trying to get hold of the talking dog that solves mysteries.
Because they accidentally created a super hyper-intelligent dog.
That can solve all mysteries.
Could solve all mysteries. During the war, it was helpful because it managed to solve the mystery of...
Enigma. Everyone thinks it was Bletchley Park, but it wasn't.
It wasn't actually Bletchley Park. They've tried to hide over the evidence. There was like a kennel in the back with computers in it, which they got rid of that immediately. Right. Anyway, so they're trying to get the dog to solve mysteries.
Because they have a mystery of their own that they cannot get an answer to, despite visiting every podiatrist this side of the Mississippi. They'll check if they can't get the talking dog to solve the mystery of the fungus.
Yes.
On their feet, which they've all come out in recently at the same time.
Is it bad fungus?
It's getting worse.
It's getting itchy.
It's getting itchy.
And Brad Pitt loves to run. It's getting in the way of his running, and he's starting to really put on weight.
So the stakes are high.
Yeah, I think we've set them high enough.
If they want to get this fungus off their foot, they're going to have to find this mysterious, mystery-solving talking dog.
Okay. What's the name of the fungus?
Well, Professor Ocean wants to call it
Oceanitis.
Whale toe.
Professor C wants to call it dolphin foot. They're kind of bickering about it in the back.
And Professor Ocean's like, dolphins spend more time in the ocean anyway. Professor C's like,
that's not true. If you were to read the latest peer-reviewed journal...
I was first author on, but you never do read outside of your own very narrow field.
And then Matt Damon says, let's call it Damonitis.
Yeah. And Clooney says, look, the name doesn't matter, Matt, whatever your name is.
For now, like, we'll call it Cloonitis. It's Cloonitis for now, okay? It doesn't matter, right? It's Cloonitis. So they drive up to the mansion, and Brad Pitt has brought like a 70-liter backpack with him, and he's like, just starts putting it on his waist.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've brought snacks for everyone and a tent in case we need it. I've brought lots of pea soup.
Matt Damon goes, pea soup, really?
Yeah.
That's great. Clooney is rolling his eyes because he knows that Brad Pitt knows that he's allergic to peas. And he's doing it just for a bit of alpha male, beta male kind of jostling.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah, because they because they have an interesting backstory.
They do.
Anyway, so they get to the front door and there's one of those new fashioned doorbells with a camera and a speaker on it.
Oh, yeah. It's dun, dun, dun.
Dun,
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, but it doesn't play that. It plays... that song, I just came to say hello, and it just starts reverberating around the house. You think you should know? And then Matt Damon is just singing along.
He's I just came to say hello.
And then it stops, and then he presses it again.
No one's come to the door, though, which is odd. So he's about to ring it a third time.
Matt Damon's about to press it again. George Clooney slaps his hand away. Yeah. George Clooney says, why are there so many locked doors in my life? And then Brad Pitt is like, hey, relax, man. Did you even try the door? And then he turns the handle and the door opens and he says, are you concerned that we'll get through all this pea soup? Don't worry. There's an emergency supply of pea soup in the bottom of the bag.
Then Clooney turns to him and says, you know very well that I'm allergic to pea soup.
Is it pea soup? No, I'm not sure if it is. I thought you were allergic to... You said green... it is green soup, actually.
All green soups, okay? It's not just peas. It's asparagus, broccoli, all the green soup. Spinach.
Legumes.
Legume soup, but only the green ones. Can't have it. Can't drink it.
Can't have it.
Warm green things.
So they go in to the Haunted Mansion, and it's... set out exactly like, a lot like a service station would be.
Okay.
Bright lighting. There's a shop that sells plushes and I Heart Scotland t-shirts. There's all the fast food.
Yeah.
And in the corner, there's a small room with the slot machines in it.
Yeah, with a sticker outside that says no under 18.
No under 18.
Yeah.
And they all look at Matt Damon and say, you can't come in, mate. And he says, shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up. You know I'm over 18. So they're looking over at the fruit machine and they found their next problem. There is to
oh,
put,
thank God.
Not to be too on the nose about it. The queue for the slot machine is abnormally long. Normally you would notice when
longer
you go
than
to,
the toilet queue.
Way longer.
Wow.
Way longer. In fact, and you look over at the toilets, there's no one queuing, which means that everyone from the toilet is queuing at the slot machine.
Right? Except for Matt Damon, who is queuing, even though there is no queue. He's just like waiting for someone to come out, but there's no one in. He thinks it's a one in, one out system.
But apart from Damon, they're all looking over at the slot machine.
So I'll go queue for the toilet, guys. And he just like keeps popping his head around the toilet and he's like, nah, there must be someone in.
It's taking a while.
So, okay, so they have to get to the front of the queue.
And they have to get three cherries. See, Steve's figured all this
out.
One slot machine, three cherries.
He's got a blueprint of the fruit machine.
People, yeah.
And there's three cherries on it. And it's just there's a big tick next to it.
Yeah.
With an arrow that then points to a talking dog.
Yeah.
So they have to get rid of the queue. So first, Brad Pitt goes to the intercom. He says to the person on the intercom, he's like, oh, look at my foot. Ugh. And the person vomits and runs away.
Okay,
and he's
okay.
Like, ooh, nice. I guess there's some positives of having a fungus. Because that's the best he can think of. That's the best line he can come up with. So then he says over the intercom, it's like, hey, everyone. It's like, if you think that fruit machine's going to pay out, wait till you see the super big, loud, flashy fruit machine we've got upstairs next to the KFC. Now with Zynga Bites, he like hears mumbling me like, oh, well, I wonder how much money it is. And he's like, it's a lot of money, bigger than I could say or think. And then they're like, ooh,
that must be big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then they all stampede.
Yeah. Except for a few who were near the front. They enlist the services of one Matt Damon. They say, Matt, can you come over here from the toilet?
And they look and he's not at the toilet. And he's like, oh, it turns out that you have to get a number. And he's gone to the McDonald's kiosk. He doesn't understand, but he orders a large Big Mac meal. And he gets given a number and he goes back and stands in the queue for the toilet until they call his number.
Yeah. So he comes back and he says, hang on a second, guys. Like, they're about to call my number.
I'm 64.
And they're like, they're not going to... Matt, come here, please. And it's like, now, Matt, you said on your thieving acting CV that you knew how to hula hoop.
That would be correct if you read it on my acting CV.
Wonderful. So we're sure, therefore, that the only way to remove these last remaining people is if you do a hula hoop show for them to distract them. Here are the hoops.
Sure.
I have brought with me one hoop, two hoops,
okay,
three hoops.
No problem.
And so he
Clune
takes...
Clune man. I think I can hear them calling my number. I'll hula hoop.
Here you go.
Okay.
And he throws the hoop around him.
Right.
And he's starting. And,
he starts hooping.
Damon's just like, oh my God.
We think at this point that Matt Damon is going to fail at hula hooping.
Yeah.
However, he may be an idiot in some ways, but he's also a technological genius. So what he does is, he's got a belt on, and he goes, all right, don't fail me now, because it's the first time he's used it.
Yeah.
And he presses a little button, and a few little hooks come out from the belt.
Okay.
And they catch the hula hoop, and then he can just kind of move it around.
Oh, and it won't fall down.
And it won't fall down. Because
so even though he's actually an idiot in most other regards, he's a savant with mechanics, kind of like a janitor who's also an expert mathematician.
Yeah, those last people are like, oh, that's quite good, and they start kind of just petering away slowly, a few of them.
Mm.
But the one at the front isn't impressed.
Really?
No,
he's still putting his quarters in the fruit machine, by which time the other people are putting their quarters in a little hat that Matt Damon's put out in front of his hula hoop show.
And they're like clapping.
And they're but the guy remains there and he's like, huh. He's like, until that man puts on three hoops, he's like, these coins are going in this fruit. And then away he goes.
Fancy that.
So they're in.
Yes.
However.
So they rush in and they close the door.
They rush in and they close the door. No one can get in now or out.
Yeah, Matt Damon's knocking at the door. We're going to take a break from that and we're going to have our next sketch, which is called Ouija.
Did you bring a board?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, who do you want to make contact with?
Well...
Okay, I'll choose. I want to hear from my grandma.
Okay.
Okay, okay. So we put our hands on this wooden thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and close our eyes.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Wow! Uh-oh. Mamma mia.
Phil, did you think I said Luigi board?
I did, yeah. And we're back. Okay, so they've managed to distract everyone in the queue for the slot machine, and they're now in the casino. It's just them. Matt Damon is still outside. But then they're like, oh, crap. It's like, this is an American slot machine. It only takes quarters. I don't have any quarters.
Because we're in England.
Because this is Britain. So Professor C, meanwhile, is still just chewing the ear off Professor Oshie.
He's talking about the differences in seaweed.
Yes.
And how, isn't it interesting how even though there's seaweed in the ocean, we still call it seaweed.
And he's a bit smug about it.
He's a little bit smug.
And George says to him, listen, you two, if, you know...
you get along so
look,
well.
You get along so well that why don't you take the van and go to the local Bureau de Change?
Professor C is delighted with this.
Professor C is like secretly, oh, no, not us. And Professor Ocean is considering ending it all.
He's in an ocean of problems.
So then they're driving down to the local Bureau de Change.
Yeah.
Professor C says, we could go to the Bureau de Change in the city, or we could take a detour and go via, and Professor Ocean looks at him, and he's like, oh yeah, what are you going to say? And
yeah.
Then he says, the ocean.
Ah.
Which is a nice moment.
Okay.
For these two.
And Professor Ocean melts a little bit?
A little bit.
Okay.
And he says, I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Okay, and Professor nice. C doesn't get it.
He's quite upset because it sounds like his gesture wasn't reciprocated.
No, no.
He's not sure, like, if Professor
like, did you
ocean...
hear me? I said the ocean.
Professor is just going,
yes,
what?
I see.
Yeah.
And he's like, what?
Meanwhile, they're all at the fruit machine.
They're like, oh, if only we had some quarters. And Matt Damon, they realize, has a hat full of quarters.
Of course.
That the people were giving him.
Of course.
Yeah. And he's banging on the door. So George goes and lets him in.
So they have some quarters. And yeah. they start going, but yeah.
So they need three cherries.
They need three cherries. So they're like, okay, lucky number one. Ding, ding, ding.
Bell, two bars, a cherry.
Ah, okay, so they go again. Ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. Two bars, bar. Meanwhile, at the ocean, Professor Ocean and Professor C
are both distracted by the gentle sounds of lapping waves against the coastline.
They're swinging their legs over the cliffs.
Yeah.
Looking out at it.
The Bureau de Change, which is right beside them, dongs a bell. It's weird. It's one that operates a bit like a pub. And they say, last orders for currency change. And Professor C is still nattering away.
Yes.
And he's saying, yes, the wave amplitude, wave frequency, and wavelength in the sea might be smaller than the wave amplitude, wavelength, and wave frequency of waves in the ocean.
Professor Ocean looks at him and says, I know.
And Professor C says, yeah, sorry, I'm not sure where I was going with that. Anyway, should we go to the Bureau de Change? It's closing in
yes,
5 minutes.
Better, yes, we best. It's like they just called last orders. So they go in.
And it's a little bit awkward because they get to the desk and Professor C says, I'll pay, at the same time as Professor Ocean saying, do you want to get this?
Professor Ocean's like, oh, if I'd said nothing, I was in the clear.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. Professor C feels a little bit miffed because even though he was happy to do it before, now it's kind of, you know.
And they ask for all the money that Professor C has in his account turned into quarters.
Yeah.
The guy behind the counter says, we only give it in bags. Do you have something with which to hold all of these quarters? And they say, no, we didn't bring anything. That's so stupid. And he's like, well, the only other thing in town is a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but they're doing these new Zynga popcorn bites. And it comes in a bucket. And it's the cheapest way to get a bucket from them because you can't just go in and ask for them.
No.
So they have to go to the KFC and stuff their mouths
with seven buckets.
Seven buckets of Zynga popcorn,
Zynga popcorn chicken.
Meanwhile, back at the Manor Mansion, George Clooney is still pulling the machine. And he's like, oh, boy, cherry, cherry, bell, cherry, bell, bell, cherry, Is anyone else starving for cherries? Right,
and they all go, yeah.
It's like, oh God, you know what? I really am. I could do with some fresh cherries.
It's like, where are we going to get fresh cherries at this hour?
Meanwhile, back at the Bureau de Change,
Professor Ocean got a phone call.
So they make it back to the Manor Mansion after having picked up 7 KFC buckets worth of cherries.
Because, of course, they didn't have any bags when they went to the grocer, and the grocer says, well, we can't give out bags anymore. They said, but if you can get a bucket, though, we can also fill those. Don't have a bucket, go to KFC. They've got this new...
Yes, we know.
They go, we know, God.
They fast forward and they make it back to the Manor Mansion, and they...
They need to get through the crowd of people. And they're just like, oh, how are we going to lure them away from Matt Damon's hula hooping? And Professor C says, I have no idea. And he's eating some cherries. And one of the cherries falls off its stalk and rolls away. And then suddenly they all look up like predators on the savannah. Huh? And they've turned their eyes. They see the cherry and they go for the cherry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he has to start throwing cherries. So they're running through and he's throwing cherries in the air. They're running with 7 buckets of quarters and 7 buckets of cherries. But they're throwing the cherries. And George Clooney is going,
quarters.
Save he's some like, of the cherries.
Save some the cherries. And most of the quarters. If you have to save one, save the cherries.
And they're all looking. But they throw some quarters and they don't go for that. They have to throw the cherries.
Yeah.
And they get to the end. And when they get to the end, there's only 11 cherries.
You're joking.
And
and George Clooney says, well, it was my idea, so I should have at least 8. And then it cuts to 17 hours later, and Clooney is still pulling the lever on the slot machine. And then he's like, oh no, that's 2 cherries. And then it says 8 hours later, and we're bang on the money. It's Cherry City.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding. Cherry, cherry, cherry.
It goes... And some steam is released from behind. It's been sealed for a long time. They go in the smoke. So there's now a small hole. And we'll hold it there for now to bring to you another spellbindingly cauldron-chilling cursed jambalaya of a sketch called Freddy. Hello, Freddy. It's Pete from Social Services. You come to the door, please.
What's wrong, Joey? Feeling tongue-tied?
It's Pete from Social Services. Freddy! I'm coming in, Freddy! Oh my God, Freddy, what have you done? Hello? It's Pete from Social Services. I'm calling about a patient who's tripped and fallen on some glove knives. No, as in they're like knives attached to a glove. Like if you wore some gloves, but between the knuckles there are like long, sharp metal knives. Yes, exactly like the famous film character. Wolverine, yeah. Well, he's known to Social Services because Freddy has a bit of trouble taking care of himself. Yeah, a lot of self-neglect, usual stuff, personal hygiene issues. I think he might be wearing the same jumper as he was when I saw him last week and doesn't look like he's washed it. It is a nice jumper. But it's also a little bit holy. Isn't it, Freddy? Yeah. Green and red stripe. That's right. Unlike the famous comic book character. Dennis the Menace. Yeah. Famously black and red, not green and red. That's right. Yeah, extensive medical history. Well, he's got some kind of skin condition, but he doesn't really like to talk about it. I'm not sure. Let me ask. Have you seen the dermatologist recently, Freddy? Yeah, he doesn't like to talk about it. So shall I file my report with you now? Oh, call 999 first. Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, put one in the fridge for me too. Gonna be one of those days. Yeah, see ya. Okay, Freddy, that was Social Services. They're really impressed with all the progress you're making. I'm gonna phone for an ambulance now, all right? Freddy, there's a lot of people who just want to help you, but we can't help you if you don't help us. You know, Freddy, in our time together, you've talked a lot about killing people, but you never tell me what's killing you. Freddy? Hopeless. And we're back.
So just to catch you up on where we are in the story. So they've just managed to get 3 cherries, which has revealed a small space.
They all go one at a time and they get to the bottom. And when they get in there, there's
they
like... They creak the door open.
It's actually a really new door, but they've added a noise to it. There's a little speaker above.
Yeah.
So it goes, And it's, if it's not scary enough already, the door handle is shaped like a pumpkin.
Oh, okay. And they open the door and they say, "Was that a cat?" And they say, "No, I think it was a creaking sound." They say, "It can't be. Look, this door is brand new.
This is one of the all new
anti-creak hinge doors.
Anti-creak 20-year guarantee."
Well, anyway, everyone be on the lookout for a cat, just in case. But we're looking for a dog. Don't forget.
That's right. So they see him.
And in a giant basket.
Curled up with a...
bone.
With a bone. Yeah, and he starts to stir, and he sees them. And at first, he's kind of really glad to see someone, and he rolls onto his back and shows his tummy. And then he starts bounding up to them, and his instincts come first. So he starts woofing. He gets really excited. His tail's wagging. And then he's like, "Oh, so sorry about that." And he stands on his back legs. And he puts out his arm and he says, "Professor Dew, nice to meet you."
And he's holding out his hand to Matt Damon, who's still on the floor licking his legs and rolling around on his back. And then he jumps up and goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And then Clooney kicks Matt Damon out the way and says, "Look, I'm the one you want to talk to. My name is George Clooney. I'm the one in charge." Then Brad Pitt says, "I'm Brad Pitt." And George says, "I'm in charge now, obviously. Tell me all your secrets. We have a fungus problem and we need solving."
Oh, yeah. And Scooby looks at them and says, "You think you've got a problem?" Then he shows them his tail, which has the same fungus on it that George Clooney and the gang have.
On their feet?
On their feet.
Why is it not on the dog's feet? Pause.
A dog's feet is its tail. The equivalent of feet.
Of course, yes. I understand.
Then he says, "I've been trying to find a cure all this time, and I'm close."
Okay.
"In fact, I'm better than close. I've done it." "Sorry, I was thinking about yesterday when I was close. George." "If you'd come yesterday, I would have been correct in saying I was close. But fortunately for you, I'm there. I've solved all the problems."
"That's great," George Clooney says to Scooby-Doo dog scientist.
"Professor Doo."
"Professor Doo.
There's one for each of us. Fantastic. That'll be great."
And Professor Doo says, "No, unfortunately, I think one of you's going to have to miss out. I don't have enough."
George Clooney says, "No, Matt Damon, I won't let you." Matt Damon says, "Sorry." And he says, "I won't let you do it. I won't let you sacrifice yourself like this."
Although, now that you mention it, you have made some good arguments. And on balance, I could live with myself if Matt Damon were not to have the serum. Could everyone else live with themselves? Everyone goes, yeah. And the dog and 11 of the Ocean members rejoice and begin injecting themselves with serum. Matt Damon, meanwhile, goes off into a corner, kind of upset. And the others
ready
then,
to die.
Ready to die, presumably from this fungus, which one day...
maybe will, over decades.
Yeah, it's a very slow-growing fungus.
Yeah.
And so he crawls off to a corner, at which point, back with the main gang in the room, they realise there were enough serums, but they don't want to bother Matt Damon.
They don't, looks no, quite well, upset Brad Pitt looks corner. And he's like, ooh, and he just kicks it under the counter.
Yeah. And you hear it smash.
Yeah, you hear it smash. So George goes over to Matt Damon and says, "Look, man, watch this." And then he starts doing the Macarena in front of Matt Damon. But it's just, we cut back to the others, but that's just going on. And it doesn't really make sense.
Mm.
And then he comes back and he says, "He'll be fine. He'll be absolutely fine." So then they say, "Huh, wait a minute. Where's Scooby-Doo gone?" And they haven't realized that Scooby-Doo has been missing ever since he injected himself. And then like, "Huh. I can't see Professor C or Professor Ocean anywhere." Cut to
6 months earlier.
Professor Ocean is at his home by the ocean, which fits with his character. And there's a knock on the door, and it's Professor C.
And Professor C goes, "All right, Rog." And
"All right, Reg."
Professor Ocean goes, "All right, Reg."
And then they do like a secret handshake.
Yeah.
Which implies that they've been friends for years.
They're actually friends. They're not these two quarrelsome academics.
Yeah. And they sit there and they make a plan about, you know, they're probably going to be recruited through an elaborate process devised by the Clune Man.
Mm. And how they're going to do something. And they say that last bit in Russian. Back to the present time.
Professor Ocean and Professor C have taken Scooby-Doo on their shoulders and they're throwing him into the back of a van.
Yeah. And they jump in the front and Professor Ocean looks at Professor C and goes, "Comrade." And they suddenly start driving off. And they're on the phone and they're speaking to the premier. And they say to Premier Putin, we have the target. And then Putin says, are you sure? Are you sure that this is the talking dog that can solve mysteries and can infiltrate number 10 Downing Street by interpreting the speech of Boris Johnson's pet mongoose, who he trusts implicitly with everything and can speak freely in front of?
And then Professor Ocean goes, oh, don't worry, Vlad. This is definitely the dog for us.
Mm.
Cut to George Clooney in the lab. And Brad Pitt looking like, oh, well, that's just brilliant.
They got the dog.
That's just brilliant. They've got the dog. And I can infer from the note they left that they are Russian agents who have taken him to
Russia
to infiltrate our government.
And that was not Professor Reginald C. It was Professor Caspian C.
And I actually suspect that that wasn't Professor Roger Ocean, but it was actually Professor East Siberian Sea Ocean.
And then Clooney turns round and he looks smug. And then Brad Pitt looks around and he goes, wait a minute, where's Matt Damon? And George Clooney raises an eyebrow at him smolderingly.
Then we cut to 6 months earlier and there's a knock at the door and George Clooney answers his front door and there's Matt Damon stood there and he's, thanks so much for inviting me around, Cloon man. Oh, I'm so excited to hear about this big score that you've got. And George Clooney said,
Shut up and get inside, Matt. And stop talking about the big score to everyone whenever you go out and about, okay? It's a boat whisper. We're trying to keep it a fucking secret. Matt Damon's told his parents, he's told his friends, he's told his rabbi.
He wrote into his university to let them know what he was up to since university, and it included details about this heist. George shows him on a coat rack a Damon-sized dog suit. He says, have a try on that, would you, Matt?
And then he goes to Matt, how does it fit? And he goes, oh, it's pretty good, George. It's pretty good, thanks. And he goes, that's good. Now listen, there will be a time where you need to put on this suit again. And he says, well, how will I know when that is, George? And he says, you'll know. Because I'll be doing the Macarena. He says, which I never do as a point of principle, he says, so there's no risk of
confusion.
There
are two times. If you see me at a wedding, do not put on the suit. But if it's any time apart from a wedding,
it's time put on the to dog put on the suit.
Have it with you at all times.
Please, thank you, Matt. And he says, oh, yeah, no, okay, George, sure.
Cut to Moscow and being unloaded from a lorry into the Kremlin.
Yes.
In a dog basket-shaped crate
with
a hole in it.
Yeah.
They take the lid off.
And Matt Damon says, Scooby snacks. And then Putin goes, yeah, this is him. And they take him off.
What happens to Professor C and Ocean?
Well, the real question is what happens to Matt Damon. But yeah. Professor C and Ocean get orders of Lenin. I think that might still be a thing. Who knows? But where have Clooney and Pitt taken...
So
the real dog.
Pitt and Clooney go outside with the real Scooby-Doo, really smug. And that smugness starts to fade as they realise that Professor C and Ocean took the van and there's no Uber nearby. And so they have to wait that we'll hail a cab for enough people, which takes a long time. So we skip forward a few hours. George Clooney and Brad Pitt walk hand in hand with Professor Do, and they go down a lift and they look really smart and smug, and we go down into this kind of bunker and there's a rose on the door, a red rose, and a picture of Tony Blair.
A red rose?
And they open the door and sat at the other side of the table is Keir Starmer. It turns out that their allegiance is not with the Prime Minister, but is with the leader of the opposition. Keir Starmer.
Keir, he's back!
QC.
Where has he been? But he's back now because he's got the dog. This changes everything.
This changes everything.
British politics.
He's going to be able to hear Boris Johnson's mongoose.
Yes.
And know
what's going on
on in cabinet. Exactly. It's all coming up Keir. Yeah?
Every dog has its day.
And they walk up to Keir Starmer and Keir Starmer says, ah, Professor Do, just the dog I needed. And he lifts up his pant leg, and there's just horrible fungus growing all over his feet.
End.
And scene.
And scene. Well,
that was pretty spooky.
Yes, it was a bit more Ocean's 11-y than Halloween-y.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. And we'll see you out with a few rules for Halloween.
Share your sweets.
Yep, share your sweets.
It doesn't actually matter who gets the most sweets.
Choose one house to egg. Don't egg more than one.
Check your feet for fungus. Mm-hmm. Especially between the toes.
Not just at Halloween.
Not just at Halloween, but it's if you haven't done it in a while.
Trust ghosts if they're friendly. But not too friendly.
Don't go around talking about Bruce Willis being dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. There may still be people who are watching it for the first time, and it's really rubbish if somebody spoils that for you.
Happy Halloween!